What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Massive Breakdown Podcast, episode 86. We are coming to you on a wonderful Wednesday night. It is the first Iron Banner of Forsaken, and we have a great podcast for you. We're going to be breaking down all the Forsaken Iron Banner weapons. We're going to be telling you what to look out for, what not to look out for, what roles you want. We're going to talk to you about stats, how fast they kill, things like that. Let's go ahead and get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. How are you doing, Kit?
Merc, doing fantastic. Grinding some Iron Banner. We're still working on that power grind, as always, as I'm sure everybody else is. How about you, man?
Yeah, I'm doing the same. Unfortunately, I barely got to play at all last weekend, as I told you earlier tonight. So I'm pretty far behind. I'm only in the high 530s right now. Pretty disappointed with that. I'm doing the same thing. At one of these days upcoming, I'm going to get a full day to just sit down and play Destiny the way I want. I have not had one of those yet since Forsaken is released. My work has kept me extremely busy. My actual life has kept me extremely busy, so I haven't been able to just sit down for more than a couple hours at a time. I've been trying to do as much as I can. But I'm hoping that this weekend I will get one of those days, like a Saturday where I just wake up in the morning and play Destiny the whole day, and I'm really looking forward to it. But like I said, in the meantime, it is Iron Banner. I personally don't like Iron Banner as a special event, and I was saying this to you earlier. I personally think that it promotes a lot of unhealthy, unfriendly playstyles. Some of that are due to, or have been due in the past, to bounties that promote a certain type of playstyle that I don't really enjoy. A lot of it is just the fact that it promotes everybody running the most meta of meta loadouts, sweating their balls off, and running in full six-man fire teams, and I absolutely hate that. But there is a little bit of motivation to play this Iron Banner, because light levels are enabled for the first time in a long, long time in a PvP playlist. Doesn't seem like there's a super dramatic power curve. It seems like it's a pretty slow, gradual ramp off, but it definitely does make a difference. And also, there's some new weapons coming in, like completely, totally new weapons. Some of them are pretty good. Some are pretty terrible. Some people pretty strongly disagree with me on some of the stuff, but we're going to talk to you about all of them. Unfortunately, there's not one of every weapon like we're used to from D1. There's only about six weapons total. So it's going to be probably a pretty short podcast here. But we're going to try to do our best to steer you guys in the right direction in terms of what you should be grinding for.
Yeah, I was really disappointed that there was no Iron Banner bow. Like, that felt like a missed opportunity. But maybe they'll roll that out. Maybe they'll add a couple of weapons in the next, next Iron Banner event. Maybe they'll add a few guns into the game. Who knows?
Yep, that's what I'm hoping they do, too, is the next Iron Banner, there are some more weapons, different weapons, and then Iron Banner after that, there. Some more, so we'll see how it goes. But if you're ready, I think we should just hop right into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you have a particular weapon you wanted to start with?
We'll probably start right here at the top of my list with some of the primary weapons. We got a scout rifle. It's called Talons of the Eagle. It is a high impact scout, which means it's 150 RPM, takes 3 crits to kill. It will kill anyone up to 9 resiliency in that, which at this current point in time is basically everyone, because the way armor is stacking up right now, it's really, really hard to get the resiliency level that you want unless you're willing to sacrifice perks. So it will kill in 0.80 seconds, 3 crits. The body shot time to kill is abysmal at 2.00 seconds, which is like laughably bad. Fortunately for you, you're almost never going to be hitting 6 body shots. So it'll probably land you down around 1.2, 1.60 seconds, somewhere around there, which is still 1.2 is not bad if you need 4 shots to kill. 1.60 is pretty damn bad if you need 5 shots to kill. So definitely rewards precision. Range, like all high-impact scouts, is high at 71. And also, like all high-impact scouts, stability, reload speed, handling, aim assist, and mag size are all below average for the scout rifle class as a whole. It does have 14 in the mag, which is high for a high impact scout. I think we've seen as low as 12. Most of them have 13. Yep. So 14 is not bad. Stability wise, usually the highest you're going to see on a high impact scout is probably 40. It's sitting at 36. The lowest you'll see is in the 20. So it's definitely not the worst. It's probably near the high end, but not the best. Aim assist is 30. That's pretty low. We've seen 38, 39 pretty regularly on high impact scouts. The exotic Polaris Lance has like a lot of aim assist, actually. So let me actually look that up, because I'm pretty sure I looked at it earlier today and I was like, oh my god, Polaris Lance is totally different. Yes, it looks like Polaris Lance. Oh no, it doesn't. It only has 39. There you go. It's stability that's much higher. It's got 55 stability, and nothing else has more than 36 stability. So aim assist is actually still the highest in the high impact archetype, but it's stability that it's really got out the ass.
Yeah, it's the Jade Rabbit that has buckets of aim assist.
Yes, there you go. The Jade Rabbit has 80.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but only 27 stability. So it's a, you know, it's a flip flop.
Yeah, it's a trade off. But 27 stability isn't even the lowest of the high impacts. We've got one down here at 20, 22, 24, 26. So it's not even that bad as far as it goes. So yes, it's the Jade Rabbit that has tons of aim assist. The Polaris Lance has tons of stability. Long story short,
the Eagle has neither.
Yeah. Long story short, I mean, it's not. We have a lot of high impact scouts in this game. It is better than most of them. I will say that. As far as roles go, me personally, because it's already got so much range, I'm probably gonna try to throw some stability in there. So polygonal rifling is a good barrel perk that just gives a straight like plus, you know, a straight bonus to stability. There's like no drawbacks to it. You could use chambered compensator, small bore, anything like that. That'll probably help you. For magazine perks, you know, steady rounds is pretty great. Tactical mag is pretty great. I think high caliber rounds is probably going to be the best option. I foresee people using this more as a PvE weapon. Once the scout rifle damage bug, or not bug, whatever it is, once that gets worked out, because I know that the tale going around the town is that scout rifles aren't doing as much damage as they should in PvE. I don't know that for a fact. I haven't tested it, but it seems pretty universal that people do believe that that is the case. So if that is the case, if you feel like your scout rifle is not doing as much damage, I would still look for a good roll and just hold on to it for a later point in time. So I'd go with high caliber rounds, mostly just because it's so nice to be able to flinch adds and stop them from firing at you. And then also because it pairs really well with Outlaw and either Explosive Payload or Rampage. Now, Explosive Payload did get a pretty hefty nerf. They over-nerfed it, and then they recorrected it to back where it's doing the amount of damage it should be, but they basically toned down the extra body shot damage that it was getting, because the whole point of the Forsaken Balance patch was that body shots are now less rewarding, headshots are more rewarding, and Explosive Payload was the opposite of that, where body shots did more damage. So they rectified that a little bit. It's still really great for grouped up bunches of adds, right? Because it's AoE damage on a shot. But also Rampage is in that same slot. So the way I'm envisioning this weapon is like a high impact ad clearing, like one of those things that's going to one shot red bars if you get crits. And I'm saying, you know, high caliber rounds, Outlaw, and either Explosive Payload or Rampage, and then polygonal rifling for a little bit of extra stability on the barrel perks. And I think once they fix scout rifles or figure out whatever's wrong with them, I think you've got a great PvE weapon. PvP, I'm trying to love high impact scouts because Chaos Dogma was my bread and butter in D1. And I'm trying to love high-impact scouts, and I don't really know what it is. It might just be the way people are playing right now or that I'm not used to them, but I just am not really liking them. Even though they can 3-tap, I'm just not really enjoying them in PvP right now. So I'm gonna keep trying to find one that I like. Hopefully I do, because like I said, that was my all-time favorite weapon in D1, is a high-impact scout. But as of right now, I think I'm going to have to relegate this to a PvE tool.
Yeah, I mean, it has... I think it has some decent perks for PvP. If you do want to go that direction, you certainly, I mean, obviously you could choose Rampage if you want that, but it's got opening shot, it's got moving target, so there are some options to combat the low aim assist. You can get Zen Moment if you want more stability. So it has some options to kind of counter some of the weaknesses of the gun. For me, high impact scouts have just never been fun to play with in basically any mode, so I tend to steer clear of them completely unless I need to test something. That's kind of my take on it, I guess.
Yeah, well, you did mention opening shot. Let's talk about opening shot for a second. So opening shot basically maxes your range, maxes your accuracy. So this reason why I like opening shot so much, and I had a theory. So opening shot, I'm almost 100% certain, is the evolution of the hot swap perk from D1, which immediately after drawing a weapon gave you bonus accuracy, right? And for the longest time, we never really could figure out what hot swap actually did. There was very little measurable impact on what it did other than it reset your bloom more quickly, which was nice, especially on hand cans and stuff like that. But people swore by it on fusions. They swore by it on snipers, but there was never any measurable proof. But my theory of what it did was that there's two types of accuracy. There's projectile accuracy, and then there's error angle. Error angle is the actual cone that goes out from the point of your gun, and it is the angle that a bullet could deflect off center. So the bigger the error angle, the farther away from center the bullet could deflect. Projectile accuracy, on the other hand, is the likelihood of the bullet. So if you have high error angle, but also high projectile accuracy, the bullet could potentially deflect very, very far off course, but it is very, very unlikely to deflect. Now, you may be saying, how does this tie into aim assist? Well, aim assist actually will deflect the bullet off course for you if the target is within like the aim assist ring, and that's called bullet magnetism. So bullet magnetism is kind of like the opposite of error angle, and that it's the same thing. It's a cone leaving out the barrel of your weapon. But the bigger the cone, the better, because the more deflection your bullet will pull towards the target. My theory is that what Hot Swap did and what Opening Shot does is it maximizes the amount that the bullet will pull towards a target. And it functions as a part of projectile accuracy. So projectile accuracy has long been considered the chance that the bullet will go 100% straight out the end of the barrel. However, if aim assist is active and the bullet goes 100% straight out the end of the barrel, that doesn't help you. That would actually hurt you. So my theory is that a perfectly accurate bullet, meaning 100% projectile accuracy, goes either perfectly straight out the end of the barrel if aim assist is not active, or maximizes the bullet magnetism towards the target if aim assist is active. And I believe that's what Hot Swap was doing, and I believe that's what Opening Shot does, because I've played a lot with an Opening Shot sniper rifle and some Opening Shot hand cannons, and they are crispy when it is active. Like, it will feel like you have a magnet in your weapon, and it will feel almost difficult to miss a shot while it's active. So I believe that's what it does. And that being said, I don't feel it's super important on scout rifles, because scout rifles, with the high accuracy that they have, actually have a very, very narrow aim assist cone. The higher the base zoom of a weapon, the more narrow the aim assist cone. And scout rifles actually have a super narrow aim assist cone. And so I've never felt that, like, having that initial accuracy on the first shot, like, I don't feel like I miss my first shot on scout rifles a whole lot, right? Like, I don't feel like it's a super high risk thing, whereas it is with hand cannons, because hand cannons in particular, like, rely so much on hitting that first shot. So I don't know if opening shot is enough to pull this gun into PvP and be like, this is something you should use in PvP.
Fair enough.
That whole long tirade was to get to that one point. But I don't think Opening Shot is a good enough perk on scout rifles to say use this gun in PvP. I think it is an exceptional perk on snipers and on hand cannons.
Yeah. And there we have it. And a little education for everybody as far as aim assist. Something that you'll find a lot more of in some of our older episodes, but not something we've revisited
in a while. Really. We got lucky that there's that one mission that allowed us to see the reticle while we were in third person.
Yeah.
Because that was the deciding factor in me figuring out at least slightly how aim assist worked, because I could measure the reticle size and figure out the way things were doing, but we don't have anything like that yet. So kind of relegated to just hoping that they didn't dramatically change any mechanics between the two.
Fingers crossed. Well, next up, continuing on the vein of primaries, we do have a pulse rifle, rapid fire pulse, Claws of the Wolf. It's an energy slot weapon with void. This is one that there's been some debate about. So I guess first let's talk about the stats and the perks, and then we can talk about the controversy. So, like I said, it's a rapid-fire pulse. So your optimal time to kill is 0.8 seconds with 9 crits. That is going to be super-duper difficult to do. 9 crits in a row at that rate of fire at, you know, I mean, any kind of range while you're in motion, your target's in motion, that's going to be super impressive or super lucky shooting. Probably not going to happen all the time. The body shot, Time to Kill, is not spectacular. It's not awful, 1.47 seconds, but it's not great. There's a lot of guns that are going to do better at body or have a much easier optimal that are going to, I don't know, you know, just looking strictly at that, those two numbers make it borderline whether it's competitive or not. But let's move on. Rate of fire, 540. So like I said, very, you know, it's rapid fire pulse. Shooting as fast as you can pull the trigger. Impact, 23. That's 22 crit damage, 13 to the body. Range of 41. Stability of 45. Reload speed at 34. Handling at 29. Aim assist at 78. Recoil direction at 53. And a mag of 33 at base. So if we take a look at the other rapid fire pulse rifles, and there's a fair number now where I think we're up to 8 rapid fire pulses in the game. I saw this, I looked at the chart and I immediately thought, gosh, if I just look at the stats, this is a worse Darkest Before. You know, depending on what gun you might use, you might think, oh, it's a worse Lincoln Green or whatever. But I think Darkest Before is the closest match if you look at the stats. And aside from the range, which is the same, it's basically better in every way that it could be. The only areas that Claws of the Wolf even really competes is having one more point of aim assist. And actually that might be it. Yep, that's it. It's worse in every other way. So stat-wise, I mean, it's got a lot of range for the archetype. It's got more range than any other gun except Darkest Before among the rapid fire pulses. That's still not a whole ton of range. So not, for me, looking very good so far. But the advantage it has over Darkest Before and a lot of these other guns is that it can roll with random perks. And that is where it can actually become a pretty decent weapon in that archetype. So you've got... For barrels, I mean, you've got all the standard barrels. Probably chambered compensator is going to be the way you want to go. Or, you know, I might take polygonal rifling or small bore to get some extra stability, some extra range. As far as your magazine perks, ricochet rounds is going to be a clear winner. Gives you that extra zoom to get the, the range and the stability, the recoil under control. Then you've also got in the trait slots, you've got a few different decent perks you could pick up. You've got both outlaw and slide shot in the first slot, and then in the second slot you have both kill clip and rangefinder. So rangefinder will stack on additional zoom even on top of ricochet rounds and the base zoom of the gun. And then of course kill clip is kill clip. So outlaw kill clip is pretty solid. That's definitely a combination I'd be on the lookout for. That said, if you feel like you want to push the range out, slide shot rangefinder is really going to give you a nice boost. It also can roll with rampage, which would make it a pretty solid weapon in PvE for clearing adds. And then it can pick up Headseeker 2, which is, I mean, with the low damage on this gun, that could occasionally be helpful, because you're not going to be hitting the optimal anyway. Headseeker can never allow you to hit the optimal more easily, at least not at any of the resiliencies that I've done the math for. But what it can do is help you avoid hitting the worst possible time to kill. And this gun does low enough damage that it might actually help you do that in some scenarios. Headseeker is also okay in PvE. It does more, you know, it does help you do more damage when you hit bodies at the beginning of the burst, which is going to happen sometimes. Just a quick note, if you're confused about how Headseeker works, because if you just look at it, you might be. What it does is if you hit a body shot in your burst, any crits in that same burst do 5% extra damage. If you just look at the numbers on your screen, it might look like it's doing a little bit more. But keep in mind that damage is rounded and there are fractions that you can't see. And in Destiny 1, we were pretty sure it was 5%. There's no indication that it's changed in any other way, so I'm sticking with that number. And that's kind of the, I guess, that's the numbers, that's the perks. Now, Mercules, you had said some unkind words about this gun in the view of a few members of the community. I guess, do you want to kind of share your thinking and what you heard as far as feedback?
Yeah, so basically more of the story is, like, all of Vanilla D2, I was using Lincoln Green. I used rapid fire pulses. I have probably 5,000 kills with this archetype of weapon. They're trash now. Like, the archetype is bad for PvP in Forsaken. And I'm saying that, you know, not because I'm telling you can't be good with a gun, because this is something that we've had to say so many times. Like, you telling me you're really good with this gun does not mean that I should recommend the gun. Just because you do well with a gun does not mean that objectively the gun is not worse than other options. Objectively, the rapid fire pulses are less forgiving and more limited, and they need more help from perks than the other pulse rifle archetypes do. That 0.8 second time to kill seems fast until, like Kutch said, you realize that you need 9 headshots, which is 3 perfect bursts, which isn't going to happen. Then you also realize that it has to be 6 resiliency or lower. As soon as you hit 7 resiliency, you need an extra shot, which is an extra burst. So that's 2 things, right? So basically, the moral of the story is you're never going to be hitting optimal time to kill. So 0.8 seconds is an unrealistic time to kill. On top of that, the recoil direction is terrible, so the burst pattern is all over the place. The stability is terrible. The range, while good for the archetype, is bad in general for pulse rifles. So your range limited, your recoil limited. You basically need to throw a counterbalance mod on it. You basically need to get some type of barrel mod that helps you. Like, that's why I recommended Slideshot and Rangefinder on this. It is because here's the funny thing. Even if you get Outlaw and Kill Clip active, the time to kill is only 2 frames faster than what an aggressive pulse rifle is just normally. Like, literally, it's normal 2 burst, which doesn't require 100% headshots, and which is relatively easily achievable, is only 2 frames slower than what the rapid fire is doing with Outlaw and Kill Clip active. So even with Outlaw and Kill Clip active, it still isn't killing that much faster than another gun does normally. And so it's still not that great of a gun. So my theory is, like, use Slideshot, use Rangefinder, and at least if you're going to use this gun, like, make it feel good to use. Because if you get those two combined with ricochet rounds and a good barrel perk, like, your stability is going to be good, your range is going to be good. At least the gun's, like, bad stats are going to be made up for, and it's going to feel a little bit better to play with. But the fact of the matter is, just mathematically, this weapon just isn't super competitive. Like, if you miss a single shot,
yeah,
the adaptive pulse rifle will kill faster, and the adaptive pulse rifle only needs 1 burst out of the, or 1 shot out of the 3rd burst to kill you. I mean, the aggressives we already talked about, the lightweights, like, they're all more forgiving. They have faster body shot time to kills, they have better range, they're not as limited, they have better stats, they're easier to use, they don't require as many, like, perfect perk rolls, like, kind of make up for the stats. And I'm saying this as someone who loved this archetype and played a ton on this archetype. Like, I was able to overlook the bad stats before because, number one, I was running 2 recoil mods, and number two, it was a relatively forgiving weapon with a pretty fast time to kill. It is none of those things now. So you telling me, like, oh, I love Claws of the Wolf, it's because it is probably, in terms of what it can roll, and stat-wise, like, yeah, we can't get a Darkest before with Kill Clip and Outlaw, right? Sadly. So, like, as far as it goes, it is probably the best gun in the rapid-fire archetype right now, just holistically, because the roll options on it are really, really good. Like, being able to roll Kill Clip Outlaw is no joke. Like, that's a pretty great roll. So the perk options on it are phenomenal, and the range is good for the archetype. The aim assist is very high, which makes it feel super sticky and good. If you love it, it's probably because it's the best gun in its archetype. That being said, the archetype is pretty weak. So if you're doing well with Claws of the Wolf, you would be doing better with Inaugural Address. You would be doing better with Bygones. You would be doing better with Go Figure. You would be doing better with probably like Nightshade or something like that. Like the fact of the matter is, like, if you're doing well with Claws of the Wolf, and it's not just because of the high aim assist, because it could be that. It could be you're not used to a weapon that has, you know, damn near 80 aim assist, which is crazy high. Thing's super sticky. It could just be that. Because I do believe it's got one of the highest aim assist of pulse rifles. So that could be why you think it feels great. But the honest truth of the matter is, mathematically and objectively, it's one of the... it's in the worst archetype of pulse rifles, in my opinion. And also, and factually. Not just in my opinion, but also like numerically and factually. So
strong
yeah,
words.
Yeah, and what I would say is, like, grab yourself a great roll and wait for a balance patch, because I don't believe that rapid fires are always going to be as unforgiving as they are right now. Because they're just not seeing a lot of playtime. Like, ask yourself, when was the last time you were killed by a rapid fire pulse in PvP?
Yeah.
I literally haven't been.
I don't recall seeing him in the last couple of weeks, and I mean, yeah, it's they're not in a good spot. You could argue that maybe lightweights are comparably bad right now, and there aren't really any random rolled lightweights. So, you know, but the point of the matter is that you're trying to decide which one's worse, right? And that's not a good. If you're choosing a weapon based on which archetype is less bad, then that's a bad place to be. Like, really what you want to be doing is you want to be, right now, with pulse rifles, for my money, if you want to use it in mid-range, grab an aggressive. If you want to use it at long range, if you want to outflinch scout rifle users and people at a distance, grab an adaptive. The aggressive ones do have really good range, but I find that it's much harder to hit the optimals at range with the four burst. So that's my money. If you like Claws of the Wolf, like Mercules said, Bygones, Go Figure, even Right Side of Wrong, which I didn't, for some reason, didn't feel quite as good to me as Go Figure, which we won't get into right now because we aren't talking about those guns, but that's the direction I would point somebody who says they like Claws of the Wolf is one of those three, like you said.
Inaugural Address also is phenomenal if you have that one, and it has Kill Clip Outlaw. It's great. Like, nice. I use Phenomenal Address. That's my sweaty loadout gun. Until I can get a Bygones with Kill Clip Outlaw, because then that will be my sweaty loadout gun, because Bygones is a phenomenal pulse rifle. Go Figure is a phenomenal pulse rifle. There actually is a lightweight pulse rifle that is randomly rolled. It comes from the raid. It is called Shattering Bone. And lightweights are pretty good. You do need 8 crits to get that kill, but that means that you can miss one shot from a burst. Of course, that will take the time to kill down to 0.93 seconds, at which point you might as well be using an adaptive. Because adaptives can kill 5 crits in 2 bodies. But lightweights do have a very, very fast body shot time to kill, 1.33 seconds. And they lightweights have that great combination of, like, still really high aim assist and great handling, great reload speed. They just feel good. But I'm telling you, man, the adaptives and the aggressives, like you said, that's where it's at, pulse rifle.
Yeah, they're all feeling really good. Well, let's see here. What do we have next?
Got the SMG, Breath of the Dragon, which I'm not a fan of 900 RPM SMGs just because I play on console and they have pretty horrendous recoil. But I did get a Gambit SMG called the Pillager, which is a 900, and I got it with a pretty interesting roll. I got it with Zen Moment Kill Clip, and it got me thinking, and it got me using it, and I actually really, really like it, and it makes sense to me because I have always loved Zen Moment on full auto guns. I think Zen Moment is a fantastic perk on auto rifles. I think it's a fantastic perk on SMGs, and it got me looking at this SMG, and I'm pretty sure that you can get yourself some pretty neat rolls on it that are going to make it a nice little utility weapon. I'm not saying it's going to be the best SMG for PvP, but I definitely think that there's a lot of options for it. Yeah, so time to kill, 0.73 seconds, which obviously, like all SMGs, it's very fast. Like, SMGs and sidearms just have the, of all the primary weapons, SMGs and sidearms have by far the fastest times to kill, which makes sense because they're range limited, so they have to kill fast. And they're distinctly made to counter shotgun rushers. 0.73 seconds, 10 crits, 2 bodies, pretty easy. 1.13 seconds with 18 bodies. You know, it does 17 to the head, 11 to the body. The range is 32, which, you know, it's not the worst. It's, luckily, there is, I think, one SMG that has worse range. I believe the Radiant Stardust has 26, but it is like the second worst range out of all the SMGs. So 32 is definitely not great. The stability is 47, which is above average. It's above average for SMGs, so it's not bad. And then it's got, obviously, a reload speed of 33, handling of 66. All SMGs have pretty fast handling, so that's nothing great. You know, I think 33 is like dead average for reload speed on SMGs. The aim assist is 50, which is also pretty much dead average for SMGs. The recoil direction is 93, which is very, very nice because it's basically dead up and down. But that also is actually average for SMGs because most SMGs have a very high recoil direction. Yep. And then the mag size is 30, which is relatively small, which is probably one of the things that annoys me most about SMGs is that 30 is just, it's just not a lot of rounds considering they shoot 900 rounds per minute.
Yeah.
It's actually not very many rounds at all, and you run out amazingly quickly. So my recommendations are definitely try to boost the range as much as you can. That range is going to help you be sticky. It's going to help your bullets not drop off. I think Hammerforged Rifling is your best bet, but extended barrels up there too if you don't mind punishing. I'm sorry, not punishing. Extended barrels up there as well, and full bores up there if you don't mind punishing your stability a little bit. Just a full bore. Magazine-wise, definitely ricochet rounds or even light mag. I might actually lean towards light mag on this one because although ricochet rounds gives you more stability and more range, light mag gives you more range and lets you reload faster, and you're definitely going to need that because you only have 30 rounds in the mag. So you're going to run out pretty quickly. And then trait one, like I said, Zen moment. Trait two, kill clip. Man, do it. Like, do it that way. Zen moment is so helpful on an SMG, and they've already got, you know, decent enough reload speed. Like, even 33, it seems like a slow reload speed because it's a low number, but SMG reloads are so fast by default that it's still pretty quick.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of those weapons that, and like, Outlaw is so fucking hard to hit on an SMG, especially a lightweight. Like, just use Zen moment, let that gun be stable, aim center mass and let it walk itself up. Even with Zen moment, it will still do it. Let it walk itself up to the head and kill clip, which just makes it kill so much faster too. So that's definitely my recommendation. Like I said, I don't think it's like, oh my God, this gun is the greatest gun ever, you need to have it. But I just think if it plays anything like the Pillager does, which I bet it does because they're similar stat-wise and they are from the same archetype, it will be a very, very pleasant feeling weapon to use, especially if you're on console.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would contradict anything that you said there as far as Breath of the Dragon. I mean, it looked like a decent SMG with the right roll, and that's really, to a certain extent, what you can say for a lot of the guns out of Iron Banner right now is with the right roll, worth hanging on to. There may come a day when lightweights are the place to be, and you'll be glad you have it. So.
And that's all the primaries, because they only gave us 3 primaries. No auto rifle, no hand cannon, no sidearm.
No bow.
Just no bow. Perhaps the most heartbreaking of all. Is
indeed.
But they did give us a sniper rifle and then a couple of heavies. The sniper rifle I was super excited about. Still am super excited about, just in a different way, because it has opening shot. And as I was explaining earlier, I think opening shot is probably one of the best PvP perks on a sniper rifle. It also has snapshot sights and can roll with fluted barrel, which increases handling as well. It is an aggressive sniper, so it only has 3 in the mag. It's got a slow rate of fire, 0.83 seconds. I've said this before, but it's basically just a 1,000-yard stare, but they cut one out of the mag and gave it really shitty handling. And then also made all the rest of its stats really shitty, too. They basically destroyed my favorite archetype of sniper from D1, but it does still exist, if in memory only. Low stability, low reload speed, low handling, not great inventory, low aim assist. Just Stat wise, the aggressive snipers aren't the best.
Yeah,
I can say that. But like I said, it can come with snapshot sights. It can come with fluted barrel. I would use any magazine perk that either increases the size of the mag or increases the reload speed of the mag. Opening shot. The biggest problem with this, and I have not been able to test this myself, but apparently it is not a low zoom sniper. I don't know for a fact that it is a high zoom sniper. It may be a mid zoom, but it is not a low zoom sniper, which breaks my heart because that's what I was hoping for, and it's not. So I'm gonna have to go back to my Aniela.
It definitely, I was running around with it in a strike because I happened to need to get some sniper kills in a strike, and I had just gotten Bite of the Fox, so I was like, let's give this a shot. And it definitely threw me off for a couple of minutes. Just didn't feel right, and I figured out it felt like I was zooming in too far, or, you know, further than I was used to, because obviously I get a sniper, I go and I change the scope to low zoom, and then I look at the rest of the perks and decide if I'm going to keep it. Because I'm going to put it on the low zoom no matter what. And it just felt a little too far in. I kind of got used to it after playing with it for a little bit, but that could be a problem for PvP with this gun, which is too bad.
Oh, well, it might be okay for Gambit, because Gambit's got some longer sightlines in it.
Does.
I don't think mid-zooms. And I mean, like, the first sniper scope I ever loved Destiny was Taxis, which was like a 6-point-something time zoom scope, right? Like, it wasn't the lowest of the low. You can function with a mid zoom scope. Long zoom scopes are pretty unwieldy.
Yeah.
So if it's like an 8x scope, you're probably going to be just plumb out of luck. It's anywhere between 4.5 and 6.5. I feel like you can probably roll with it with a little bit of practice, and maybe some handling mods too, or handling perks to make it scope in a little bit faster. But interestingly enough, also apparently this gun can roll with full auto. I'm gonna say right now, if it is not the full auto that shotguns used to be able to roll with that increase the rate of fire, do not use it, because this gun fires so slow, it does not behoove you to have full auto on it at all.
Yeah.
If it doesn't increase the rate of fire. And because I haven't gotten one to drop a full auto, but someone told me for sure that they did, I don't know what the actual rate of fire is. I'm willing to bet it does not increase the rate of fire. Although if it did,
that'd be pretty sweet.
It would be a very, very good gun, especially because it can roll box breathing.
Yeah, that would be that'd be pretty crazy. You could put out some serious boss damage if you had a full auto sniper shooting at like pulse rifle speed or something. That'd be nuts. But yeah, otherwise, I guess, you know, if you're looking for this for PvE, I would look for rapid hit, and then box breathing is a good choice. I mean, that's, you know. You could also take field prep if you want more ammo. I might actually go that direction, because it doesn't have a whole ton of ammo. Not that any special weapon does, but it definitely has that low inventory. You feel it, so field prep could help. But yeah, I'd be happy with either.
And then we move on to the heavies, because they didn't give us a fusion. Damn you, Bungie! No fusion. Fusions, and they didn't give us a shotgun.
No.
Which I'm fine with. We have more than enough shotguns.
We do.
Shotguns. Instead, they gave us a grenade launcher, and this is one of the ones that I'm going to say straight up avoid. There is no reason at all for you to have this grenade launcher. All the perks it can roll can also roll on everyone's favorite weapon, the Edge Transit. And
what's
the Edge
that?
Transit has slightly better stats. And also can all roll all the same perks on the Outrageous Fortune, which comes from the Vanguard, and the Outrageous Fortune has slightly better stats. So, sorry. So this grenade launcher is called Swarm of Ravens. It is void. It is one of the aggressive grenade launchers. Shoots, you know, time between shots is 0.4 seconds, which is probably the one bonus it has. You know, if you have to use it, go with proximity grenades and rampage for PvP, and proximity grenades and probably Genesis for PvE. So I think Genesis is a really fantastic PvE perk.
There
are other grenades, unless you get a perfect roll on Swarm of Ravens and you don't have a good roll on your million Edge Transits, that would be the only way I could foresee anyone using this. Because any roll you get on this, because this gun is so much more rare, I'm pretty sure you'll have already gotten an Edge Transit that has the same or better roll, and basically functions the exact same, with a slightly slower rate of fire. So I would avoid Swarm of Raven.
Yeah, I felt the same way. It didn't really, I mean, that, like you said, if you get one with a perfect roll, hang on to it. Use it if you really love using grenade launchers, or throw it in the vault for a day when grenade launchers are the meta.
Hopefully that day will never come. Grenade launchers are super annoying to play against. When I was at Bungie, and I think I can probably say this because it didn't end up mattering for anything. We were just doing a random playtest, and they had like, what if grenade launchers were really fucking good? It turns out it is so incredibly painful to play a game where grenade launchers are insanely meta and very good, because they have perfect in-air accuracy, and they can roll all types of fun shit like concussion grenades, which stunlock you. So you end up with a bunch of people bunny hopping around with grenade launchers, concussion grenading you, and you can't do anything unless you switch to a grenade launcher, because they're in the air because they have perfect in-air accuracy, and you're on the ground, which means you're incredibly easy to hit. But that's the only way you can kill them, because none of your other weapons have good in-air accuracy. So if you're jumping in the air, you can't hit them. So you have to switch to grenade launcher. And what it ended up devolving to is two teams of four with grenade launchers, just grenade launcher. So fun game type when it's not competitive, but as an actual meta, it is not very enjoyable.
Well, now we know. That leaves us with just one final weapon, because there are no swords either. That's right, no blades, no bows.
No linear fusions.
No linear fusions. I mean, oh well. The only linear fusion anyone cares about is Sleeper, so.
Which, if I had had my way, would not have been that way. I pushed very, very hard to make all linear fusions, if they were going to remain in the heavy slot, body shot with one hit. Kills, the same way Sleeper said. What I said was that Queensbreaker's bow, since it can't do that, should be in the special slot. And any linear fusion that cannot body shot kill with one shot should be in the special slot.
Yeah.
And if you're going to leave them in the heavy slot, they should act the way Sleeper Simulant does, and they should kill you with a body shot. And I said that they should be extremely ammo limited because of that. Like, no more than 3 rounds, probably 2, is what I said. And they decided, nope, we're just going to use them for PvE boss damage. That's what they're good for. They're useless in PvP. Except for Sleeper. And look how Sleeper turned out. So.
Well, we can hope they might someday do something to make those guns a little more useful in the Crucible. But for now, we have a rocket launcher, which is super useful in the Crucible. If you don't have a Hake rocket launcher with cluster bombs, you probably want to look for a good Roar of the Bear. Roar of the Bear is a high-impact rocket launcher, which means it has very high blast radius. It has other stats too, but the only other one you care about is velocity, which happens to be very low. Rate of fire, of course, is also very low, but then again, it's a rocket launcher, so if you're shooting it, then you probably want to take cover if there are still any enemies who can see you. That's true for all of them. So, as far as the perks, though, the perks are really what stands out about this gun. The sights, barrels, magazines, take what you can get. None of those, for me, are make or break. Quick launch, hard launch, high velocity rounds, implosion rounds, any of those would be good. But what you really want to be looking at is your traits columns. You need the tracking module and you need the cluster bombs, and that is the god roll. That's what you're looking for. That's why everybody's excited about it. Roar the Bear is definitely the weapon to get.
Yep, this tracking Iron Banner. Cluster bombs is basically a D1 rocket launcher, very close to it.
Yeah.
And like I said, you could also get auto-loading holster.
It's a baby Gjallarhorn to a certain extent. So,
an auto-loading holster is phenomenal in PvE. It's super, super useful, actually.
Yep,
so I highly recommend that. I would definitely try to improve the velocity, especially if you're using it for PvE. Velocity is really, really important. So quick launch is going to do that. High velocity rounds will obviously do that. If you don't get cluster bombs, but you still have tracking, you could do rangefinder, and rangefinder actually increases the projectile velocity as well. So I would do any of those, but yeah, tracking cluster bombs is like tier one. For PvE, maybe tracking an auto loading holster would be really nice. But that Roar of the Bear is probably the best weapon that's coming out of Iron Banner if you get a God Roll, because you will probably not ever need another rocket launcher. To get a God Roll unless you decide to swap it out for a certain exotic, if it ever comes back, which I doubt they would, because it would totally destroy their sandbox for raid design. But it's not like they haven't already done that with 1,000 voices. And Sleeper and Whisper, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely continuing to infuse my Whisper up every now and then to keep it relevant. One other note I would make on Roar of the Bear, and I haven't gotten a rocket launcher with it, so I haven't gone and tested it to see what the difference is, but impact casing is supposed to do additional damage on a direct hit. Somebody may have already tested this. It would not surprise me. Tell me if that's the case, because I'd love to know exactly how much extra damage it does. But if you're looking for this for PvE, for boss damage, and you want, you know, the tracking and the cluster bombs for all the extra damage and for making sure you don't miss and send your rocket flying off into nowhere, impact casing could be a great choice for your magazine perk to get some extra damage into that boss and make it just that much more awesome. And that basically is... your Iron Banner weapons.
Yep, I'm gonna say that's it for me. I'm actually going to go ahead and hop off and play some Destiny now.
Hey, let's do it. Thanks for tuning in again, guys. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at DestinyMVP, at Mercules904, and at KYT underscore KUTCHA. That's me, Kid Ketcha. And I'm signing off.
See you next week. We're gonna be breaking down the raid weapons, so definitely tune in for that. Later.